Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective here on a Thursday afternoon. Very excited to talk some East Carolina and baseball, kind of indirectly, as Alec Burleson is having a tremendous 2022. And right now, very excited to be joined by a first-time guest, and that is the first-year play-by-play voice of the Memphis Redbirds, and that is Jack Keffer. Jack, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Ahoy, Bubba. Thanks for having me on. This has been a cool introduction to the ECU community. You guys follow your players really closely. And you guys make baseball fun too. So happy to be here.
Absolutely. Really look forward to this conversation. Burley's having such an excellent 2022 and really such an excellent career in the minor league since leaving East Carolina, and has risen rapidly there to Memphis. But before we dive into all that, just tell our viewers and listeners about yourself. First year there in Memphis, but you have a background for a few years, if not several years now, in broadcasting.
Yeah. So like you said, first year in Memphis, I came from Philadelphia with a sports radio station up there where I was working in management and then kind of broadcasting on the side. And then before that was play-by-play for the Frederick Keys. They were an Orioles affiliate. And now I think they're in the draft league or futures league. And then before that was with the Wilmington Blue Rocks, spent some time up on Cape Cod. Just have tried to stay around the game, broadcasting baseball as much as I can. And really happy to be back into it. We have an unbelievable team this year. And I think what you're seeing too right now, a lot of the big prospect names like Nolan Gorman and Juan Yepes, they've been promoted to the Cardinals. And Alec Burleson has kind of been one of those guys who has shown through, especially on the production side, and has kind of made a bigger name for himself. So hopefully he joins them soon. But he's been crushing the baseball lately.
And now, Jack, off the air, you were telling me about how you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. If you would tell me, what about MLB? What's your fandom there? Going back to your childhood, was it Phillies or?
Yeah, love the Phillies. Grew up watching the Phillies all the time. Spent summers in New England and would watch the Red Sox when I was younger during the summers too. So I loved watching Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz. I followed along that 04 World Series run really closely. And then the Phillies from, basically 2005 to 2012 was like, that was all I'd watch. And that was kind of the very, very close follow. So I still follow the Phillies over the last couple of years. This year, it's more been following the Cardinals just with everything that's been happening and being affiliated with the Cardinals. But I'm on the phone with friends and they still want to talk Phillies. So I keep in touch with what they're doing as much as possible. Phillies at heart, that's where it is. So.
Yeah, not to get off on a tangent, but when I think of the Philadelphia Phillies and some of our older viewers, they'll certainly remember this. People that are in my age bracket, they're in your 40s, 50s, or that kind of thing. I think back to Darren Dalton and Lenny Dykstra and some of those teams. One of my favorite players growing up was Dale Murphy, and obviously he did the bulk of his damage with the Atlanta Braves. And then I was heartbroken when he became a Philadelphia Philly.
Yeah. That was a tad before my time, but one of the things that during the pandemic year, I was watching lots of old Phillies footage, and there's an awesome documentary about the 93 Phillies, who were just kind of this ragtag bunch of folks. That was such a fun team to learn about and kind of watch those early 90s Phillies, which were bad teams mostly. But like, you know, John Kruk, he's the color commentator right now for on the TV side. Larry Anderson is the color commentator on the radio side. And those guys have pretty inextricable links to past Phillies teams. You know, it's other than outside of 1980, 1993, diving into Philly sports history is not that enjoyable. They've been a losing franchise most of the time. But when I was growing up, those mid-2000s teams, those early 2010 teams, so much fun to watch. And kind of until, I guess, like the latter years of the Dominic Brown era. But yeah, love the Phillies.
Yeah, you mentioned that name, John Kruk, also Mitch Williams.
Yep.
Obviously, they were notable for what they did on the field, both in terms of performance and then also their antics and just the way they went about their business. And I guess, you know, for college baseball fans, not exactly the same thing, but they had some of that swag, kind of like you see from the Tennessee Volunteers. People either love them or they love to hate them.
Yes, absolutely. Kruk on the broadcast the other day was ripping Ben Simmons in relation to one of the Phillies players. So they that personality is still pretty strong. And Larry Anderson might be the most conscientious objector to umpires since his playing days. So they brought the personality with them for sure.
Kind of shifting gears to the matter at hand, the reason we really wanted to have you on was to talk about Alec Burleson. I talked about how Burley's risen rapidly through the ranks. So just talk about getting to know Burley a little bit, and you know what you've not only seen with your own eyes, but you know heard from the coaching staff and the manager there in Memphis.
Yeah, I guess first off to that point, how fast he's risen. I mean, it's pretty incredible to think that 2 years ago, he was a college baseball player and he was pitching and hitting. And from everything that I talked to him about with like what that entailed from a preparation standpoint, I just don't know how he did both. It's what makes the Shohei Ohtani performances so mind-blowingly incredible is like it is really difficult to do both at a high level. I think that you're seeing the athletic ability and like just how pure of a hitter Burleson is in his second full season right now. There's so many areas to start from. I would say the first is that he doesn't strike out and he just makes contact with fastballs all the time. It's unbelievable. Last night, he broke an 0-for-13 streak, which was his longest hitless streak of the year. And it was a fastball that was, you know, high on the outside corner, and he just slapped it the other way. Like, his hand-eye is unreal. He doesn't have a lot of movement in his swing. It's so pure from the left side, and he's just got so much natural power from his back hips. I want to take the time to just like fully contextualize how unreal what Burleson is doing right now. Second professional season, and he's tearing up AAA in his second full month.
And that's the thing. I mean, at East Carolina, obviously a tremendous player. I think as a freshman, he hit 250 or 260, but you saw the potential there, even though he didn't have an excellent average. And then his last two seasons in Greenville, one of which was shortened by the pandemic, unfortunately. But, he was hitting 370, 375. So you knew the guy could hit. But the power numbers, I mean, I think he hit something like 12 or 13 home runs as a Pirate combined in three seasons and never more than nine, which came in that full sophomore season in 2019. But now, look what he's done this year. To date, he's already hit 12 bombs. I know he's worked extremely hard in the offseason with Trent Britt of Next Level Training Center in Greenville. Mm-hmm. As you see there on the screen, one of our loyal sponsors here on the show. Trent talked about Burley's work ethic, like you had already referenced, and just putting on the weight, improving his agility. And not only is he hitting home runs, he's hitting home runs to all fields. And these home runs, as we talked off the air, a recent home run he had down at the Charlotte Knights ballpark, and it was out of the stadium. It was something. It was a Ruthian shot.
Yeah. Like in terms of the power, I think it starts with, there's two things. One was an adjustment that he made this season, right around the time that he started to just heat up. And the second was that off-season work that you're talking about. So we'll start there. One of the things that he has said is that being able to focus just solely on hitting for the first time in his life, he's actually been able to work out a lot more, like consistently working out in season, in the off-season too. He's not worried about it, really the health of his arm. It's obviously important as you're playing the outfield, but what's more important is putting on the pounds and growing the muscle. And he's done that over his first professional season and off season. So that has helped him a ton get just natural power into his swing. The other thing that was happening, and this was an adjustment that he made on his own with a little bit of help from Brandon Allen, the hitting coach for the Redbirds, who does just a tremendous job. Burleson's back foot, it was a little bit off center. So instead of being perpendicular to the back line of the batter's box, it was a little bit open. So he was losing a lot of power in his back hip. What he ended up doing was planting back foot squarely perpendicular, or excuse me, parallel with the back line of the chalk line. So he was able to get a lot more power in his swing. You know, it's hard to do it without, you know, just showing you how. I'm trying to describe it, but he just gets a lot more torque from his back leg being planted. And when he made that adjustment, that's when you started seeing the home runs and the doubles tick up. And he started putting the ball in the air way more often. He naturally has really good front to back weight shift. He naturally has great hands. It's crazy. He spreads out in the box so much too. And you would think that he would lose a lot of his power because of that, because his feet are so wide. But he's just got so much natural power with his upper body, with his hands, and then with his hips. And that weight transfer, like I was talking about, it's the perfect storm. So those are kind of the two things that have led to that power surge. And like you said, 12 home runs this year. He actually had more home runs in April than he did in May, but he had way better slugging percentage numbers. The doubles ticked up. He had a triple, and the RBIs total just started to skyrocket as well.
Yeah, as I was telling you off the air, you know, by the nature of following various people in the Cardinals organization that cover the Cardinals minor league affiliates, and then also different East Carolina follows. Anytime Alex hits a bomb, I generally see it. In my notifications, and I got to check it out. And, you know, so many of these, not only are they leaving the yard, but, you know, your 400 plus shots going backside, just that's one of the things that's blown me away about his, you know, performance to date.
Yeah. And you know what? His walk-off home run against Iowa was in the left center field bullpen. So he's got the opposite field power too. Like, He can hit the ball to all fields. And I think that's what's the incredible part about it. And that's where you just see the really natural hit tool. Brandon Allen has said to me, he's like, yeah, Burleson is just, he's just a natural hitter. He just has it. And you can't really teach that. He's a C-ball hit ball guy. He likes to swing at the first pitch. He's hunting fastballs. He doesn't overthink it. And I think that it's a really good combination. He's going to see a lot of success.
One of our viewers chiming in here on Facebook, I believe this is Josh O'Neill, for some reason is showing up just as a generic Facebook user, but it says Alex personality outweighs his talent. And that's saying a lot. Love that kid.
Yeah. He's talked about how much he likes to be a clubhouse guy. And how, like, it's a intricate balance at AAA too, because he is a younger guy. And there are dudes in this locker room like Kyle Ryan, Blake Parker, Zach McAllister. Zach McAllister went to the World Series with the Cleveland Guardians. Like, these guys have had long professional careers. They've been to the big leagues. But Burleson still is able to like just shoot it with anybody. Fun guy, wants to engage with everybody, and is there to have a good time.
No doubt. You know, have you had the opportunity to meet his parents yet? I know they when they play in Charlotte, I mean, they of course come to all six games, and then same thing in Durham if their work schedules allow, and they clearly get there as much as possible to see their son. But you know, after those games, you know, so many people from that Lincoln County area, just north of Charlotte, making that track down the 77 or what have you to the Knights ballpark.
I haven't gotten to see his parents yet. He tells me that when they go to Charlotte, he usually gets mobbed. In Durham last year, he said that so his promotion from AA to AAA came, I think, last August, and he said that the Redbirds were playing the Durham Bulls at Durham, so at DBAP. And when he got promoted, the Bulls were the ones that were promoting his promotion. They were saying, come out to the ballpark, see Alec Burleson, former ECU product, make his AAA debut, which is crazy. Like, you just don't really see teams promote the opposition like call up. But that kind of just gave me the sense that, okay, like, he's got not only a lot of family, but like a lot of friends and a lot of good people who like care about his success in that area. Which is just incredible. I can't even imagine what the homecoming is like to Carolina.
Yeah. I mentioned that off the air to you, how my parents and I went down to the DBAP.
Yep.
One Sunday last summer, I believe it was in August, to watch Burley. And just that day that I was there, you know, I guarantee you there were at least 35, maybe 40 East Carolina fans just that I saw. So I know recently here in Charlotte, which has a strong contingent of ECU alums, that when he hit that mammoth shot that we just discussed a few minutes ago over the shelter in right field, that you could hear purple gold cheers and a few ECU. So that was neat to see, you know, just people getting out to support Alec.
Yeah. I think that's the coolest part about that ECU community. And what he's talked about too is like, you guys do an unbelievable job of following your guys. And that support's incredible. I mean, to have a AAA baseball stadium full of ECU fans just chanting his name on the road, that's so cool.
And back here about a month ago now, also the East Carolina team was out against the Memphis Tigers. And after one of those games, had the opportunity, as many tickets as they could get their hands on, Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo, Austin Knight, pitching coach, and probably at least 10 or 15 players made their way to FedEx Park or whatever it is now.
Yeah, AutoZone.
AutoZone. I mixed it up with the on-campus stadium.
You're good. They texted me and they were like, hey, we want to see Burley. Like, can we get tickets? I was like, yeah, absolutely. They cleaned up against Memphis too. They put it to him that series.
Had CJ Mayhew throw a no hitter, but he didn't get credit for the no hitter because the game went into extra innings, and he worked nine innings of no hit baseball, but didn't get credit for it. Game ended up going 13 innings.
It's like the Hunter Green. Throw a no-hitter, but you don't get credit for it because you lose. That's incredible. Yeah, I was following them early on in that series because I think they won the Friday and Saturday games, and they did really well. Memphis just named a new baseball coach too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that. Kerrick Jackson, pretty intriguing hire. Had a background. Not only had he been a head coach in college at Southern, but he had also had a strong background towards the MLB draft league or something.
Yeah, and I think he's now the third black head coach in Division I. So really cool pub for them. And, you know, U of Memphis, their baseball team historically, I think, has been pretty good. You might actually know better than me. But really exciting stuff for them.
As we're wrapping things up, Jack, appreciate you being so generous with your time. I know you're currently in the middle of a homestand with the Durham Bulls there in Memphis at AutoZone Park, off to a 2-0 start in the series. And so just tell us about how things have been going recently for the team as a whole and where they stand, you know, within the league race.
Yeah, so they are 2 games back of first place. Nashville is first in the International League East Division, and they actually come to town next week. So that's going to be a huge series. The Redbirds, 10 games above 500, most games above 500 this season. They're really good. Like, they've hit 95 home runs on the season, which is most in professional baseball. I think the Yankees are second with 83. And that is a month, 5 weeks after Nolan Gorman and Juan Yepes got promoted. And those guys were just smashing the baseball. Now it's Burleson who's hitting the home runs. So he's been leading the team and leads the active team right now. So team has been playing really well. We got Jack Flaherty thrown in a rehab start on Friday. Aaron Brooks, longtime major leaguer, he's throwing tonight. Jake Woodford's on Saturday. Connor Thomas Sunday. Rotation's coming together. Offense is really, really good. And Burleson is right in the middle of it. So,
yeah, Josh O'Neill chime in once again on Facebook saying that he has been to Charlotte, Durham, as well as to the Norfolk Tides, both last year and this year. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great following Alec.
Yeah. Alec had a good series against Norfolk. He hit the ball really well against Charlotte. The team actually, we're not going back to the Knights. Truist Field is beautiful. Downtown Charlotte. And Charlotte's fun. That was the last series. So they just came off a series against Charlotte. That's the last time that they're going to go to Truist Field this year, which stinks because they hit 32 home runs in 2 series against them. So that might, the home run total.
That's a bummer. I did not realize that as far as Charlotte. You guys come back to Durham?
We come back to Durham. So 4th of July, they'll be, the Redbirds will be at Durham 4th of July, and then the week following too. And I think that rounds it off for Redbirds and Bulls. It's really cool. Like, both of those teams, historic. Redbirds, a lot of history in the PCL, though. So this is only the second year that Memphis is playing Durham. Luckily for ECU fans, Burleson has been here for 2 years, and he's gotten to visit Durham a lot. So hopefully Burleson is not with the team by the time he visits Durham, but in the case that he is, July 4th.
I believe you said, in addition to the Memphis Redbirds, what you've been with the Wilmington Blue Rocks. Is that right?
Yeah, I was with the Blue Rocks back in, 2017 as a broadcast intern.
Okay. Did you get to travel at all, or just home games? Or
I got to travel a little bit. I went to Frederick and a couple of other of the closer spots. But I've been to Winston-Salem, great ballpark. And then I think I was at Down East 1 year too. Yeah.
Gotcha. And Down East Wood Ducks there in Kinston, North Carolina, about half an hour from East Carolina.
Yeah.
With your travels, so, and then, whether it's just broadcasting or just ballparks you've seen and stadiums, concession items that you've experienced as a fan, what are some of those more unique venues you've been to, and maybe a unique concession item or two? Because earlier you talked about promotions. We all know minor league baseball, that's what it's all about, those promotions and getting people out to the ballpark to have fun. And there can be some pretty unique, promotions as well as, also concession items.
Yeah. So I'll shamelessly plug Memphis as one of the better promotional items on Throwback Thursdays, where we play as the Memphis Chicks. So the Chicks played in the Southern League in Memphis for years and years, and is like the team in Memphis. And Redbirds, they put on the Chicks jerseys, they get the Chicks hats, and they are so fresh. And those are Throwback Thursdays, where you get cheap beer and hot dogs as well. I think that it's one of the most well done throwback nights in minor league baseball. I love the stadium here too. But other stadiums that have been gorgeous. I didn't go to Truist Field. We've been broadcasting remotely for the first 2 months. Hopefully that will change later on in the season. But Truist Field, from everything that I've heard, from what I've seen, beautiful. I love the Winston-Salem Stadium as well. Fredericksburg just got a new stadium. That's really nice. Man, where else have I been that's kind of been mind-popping? Yeah, that's kind of – I've really just traveled that Eastern Seaboard most of the time. I was in the Carolina League with Frederick. Myrtle Beach, that place is awesome.
Definitely been there to the Pelicans ballpark last summer. But since you brought up that you had a connection there with the Down East Wood Ducks, and you've been to that stadium, Granger Stadium, one of the unique minor league parks because of its age. And I was so glad to see that ballpark live on after the Kinston Indians left with the Down East Wood Ducks coming in several years later. In the meantime, you know, they had the Freedom Classic, which is played between Navy and Air Force there, preseason series early on in the college baseball season. But are there any stadiums kind of along the lines of a Granger, maybe not necessarily a single A, but of any classification that stands out where it's got some character to it because it's an older ballpark?
Sure. Older ballparks with character. I will say Nashville Stadium stands out just in, like, the product that they put out is really great. Look, AutoZone Park, this place is an all, like, brick exterior, and the interior – the seats in the grandstands are green, and it's just, it's beautiful. Like, it looks like a major league park. Other older stadiums that might be notable. The Asheville Tourist Stadium is great, but it's getting old. And I know that they need to, you know, they got a lot of renovations to go there, to get that upkeep going.
I've definitely been to that venue, and because that was one that was kind of on my bucket list because I knew it had been one of the shooting locations or filming locations for Bull Durham.
Yeah, that stadium's really cool. Just like, I mean, the location too is phenomenal. I haven't yet explored a lot of the PCL stadiums or seen them. And then also, you know, like, what's that league with – there's Eugene, there's Tri-City, and Vancouver. And
I know what you're talking about. I can't recall right offhand either.
Those stadiums are unbelievable. Just with, like, the backdrop of, like, huge evergreen trees. So anything in the Pacific Northwest is just kind of knockout gorgeous. But, yeah, I'm – you know, I've done this for, this is really my, well, we haven't really even traveled this year. But this is my third season doing this. So I'm still getting to see all the visiting parks and whatnot. It's exciting to kind of like see the differences, but I've enjoyed where I'm at. So
one final question for you here from Facebook again, Josh O'Neill. He is saying, what are your thoughts on the Savannah Bananas?
Yeah. Oh man. They're fun. You know, like they have their niche within baseball, and they make baseball a lot of fun. Like, there are people who, some of my friends who never have paid attention to baseball, and they text me about the Savannah Bananas, and they send me stuff, and they're like, "This is awesome." So I'm a huge fan of promoting the game, and if the Savannah Bananas have found this way to make baseball an incredibly entertaining, different kind of game, I am all for it. And I love watching their highlights too. They're fun.
Yeah, they are. I definitely follow them on social media. Never been to a game, but would love to sometime. As they're for folks who may not know what we're talking about, I will certainly put their information on our social media so you can check it out, or just simply on Google Savannah Bananas and you'll have no trouble finding their content. But they have some awesome stuff. Basically, their baseball's equivalent of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes, exactly. And they just do ridiculous things. Guys on stilts, like taking up bats, awesome in-between innings promotions. They did the Harlem Shake. Like it's a lot of fun, and I'm all for it.
Jack, certainly appreciate you spending a half hour with us here on a Thursday afternoon, and you know, have a excellent call tonight and throughout the 2022 season. Would love to have you back on maybe later in the summer, early fall, to talk about Alex's progression.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, Bubba. I've loved getting to know the ECU fandom. And good luck to this weekend. I'll be watching. I'm sure Alec will be watching and following along too. So all the best.
No doubt. I know Alec reached out to Coach Godwin, like I mentioned to you, when we were connecting on social media to set up this interview. Just saying congrats, Coach, and you know, the opportunity to host a Super Regional at Clark LeClair Stadium for the first time ever. And you know, how fitting that it is coming against the Texas Longhorns, who, yes, they had their up and downs throughout the season, but they were the preseason number one. We're in Omaha last year, and nobody has more Omaha appearances there in the CWS than the Texas Longhorns. And, you know, to add another element to it, I mean, they're probably, if not there at the top, they're certainly right there at it as far as college athletics' richest program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ECU versus Texas is a pretty mammoth super regional matchup. So I'm excited.
Well, Pirate Nation and others who may be tuned in, we certainly appreciate you watching and listening. But for Memphis Redbirds play-by-play voice, Jack Keffer, I am Bub Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Have a great one, everyone. And as always, go Pirates. My heart is purple and